Hare Krishna. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So this morning we're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 8, text 138. So you have the microphone? For? She has it already? Okay, so you can read the... Okay, let me chant the verse. Okay. So word meanings, Vrindavan A in Vrindavan, Aprakrita, spiritual, Navina, new, Madana, Cupid, Kama Gayatri, hymns of desire, Kama Bija, by the spiritual seed of desire called Klim, Yanra, of whom, Upasana, the worship, Vrindavane Aprakrita Navina Madana, Kama Gayatri, Kama Bija, Yanra Upasana. Vrindavane Aprakrita Navina Madana, Kama Gayatri, Kama Bija, Yanra Upasana. Vrindavane Aprakrita Navina Madana, Kama Gayatri, Kama Bija, Yanra Upasana. Translation: in the spiritual realm of Vrindavana, Krishna is the spiritual ever-fresh Cupid. He is worshipped by the chanting of the Kama Gayatri mantra with the spiritual seed Klim.
Purport: Vrindavan is described in the Brahma Samhita 556 in this way. Shri Akanta Kanta Paramapurusha Kalpataravo Druma bhumis chintamani ganamai toyam amritam kathaganam natyam gamanam api vamsi priya sakhi Chid Anandam Jyoti Paramapi Tad Asvadyam Apicha Sayatra Shirabdhi Shravati Surabhidya Surabhibhyascha Sumahan Nimeshardhakhyo Vavrajati Nahi Yatrapi Samaya Bhaje Shweta Dvipam Tam Maham Iha Golokam Mityam Vidantaste Santakshiti Viralachara Kapipaye. The spiritual realm of Vrindavan is always spiritual. The goddess of fortune and the gopis are always present there. They are Krishna's beloveds, and all of them are as spiritual as Krishna. In Vrindavan, Krishna is the Supreme Person, and he is the husband of all the gopis and the goddess of fortune. The trees in Vrindavan are wish-fulfilling trees. The land is made of touchstone, and the water is nectar. Words are musical vibrations, and all movements are dancing. The flute is the Lord's constant companion. The planet Goloka Vrindavan is self-luminous like the sun and is full of spiritual bliss. The perfection of life lies in tasting that spiritual existence. Therefore, everyone should cultivate its knowledge. In Vrindavan, spiritual cows are always supplying spiritual milk. Not a single moment is wasted there. In other words, there is no past, present, or future. Not a single particle of time is wasted. Within this material universe, the devotees worship that transcendental abode as Goloka Vrindavan. Lord Brahma himself said, "Let me worship that spiritual land where Krishna is present." This transcendental Vrindavan is not appreciated by those who are not devotees or self-realized souls, because this Vrindavan Dham is all spiritual. The pastimes of the Lord there are also spiritual. None are material. According to a prayer by Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Prarthana 1, Arakabe nitai chander koruna karibe samsara vasana mora kabe tuchahabe. When will Lord Nityananda have mercy upon me so that I can realize the uselessness of material pleasure? Vishaya chariya kabe shuddha be mana kabe hamahe rab shivindavan. When will my mind be cleansed of all material dirt so that I will be able to feel the presence of spiritual Vrindavan? Rupa raghunatha pade hoi be akuti kabe hama bujhabo se jugala piriti. When will I be attracted to the instructions of the Goswamis so that I'll be able to understand what is Radha and Krishna and what is Vrindavan? These verses indicate that one first has to be purified of all material desires and all attraction for fruitive activity and speculative knowledge if one wishes to understand Vrindavan. In reference to the words aprakrita navina madana, aprakrita refers to that which is the very opposite of the material conception. The Mayavadis consider this to be zero or impersonal, but that is not the case. Everything in the material world is dull, but in the spiritual world everything is alive. The desire for enjoyment is present both in Krishna and in his parcels, the living entities. In the spiritual world, such desires are also spiritual. No one should mistakenly consider such desires to be material. In the material world, if one is sexually inclined and enjoys sex life, he enjoys something temporary. His enjoyment vanishes after a few minutes. However, in the spiritual world, the same enjoyment may be there, but it never vanishes. It is continuously enjoyed. In the spiritual world, such sex pleasure appears to the enjoyer to be more and more relishable with each new feature. In the material world, however, sex enjoyment becomes distasteful after a few minutes only, and it is never permanent. Because Krishna appears very much sexually inclined, he is called the new Cupid in the spiritual world. There is no material inebriety in such desire, however. Gayantam trayate yasmat gayatri tvam tataha smrita. One who chants the Gayatri mantra is gradually delivered from the material clutches. In other words, that which delivers one from material entanglement is called Gayatri. An explanation of the Gayatri mantra can be found in the Madhya Lila, chapter 21, text 125. Kama Gayatri mantra rupa hai Krishna raswarupa sardha chabisha akshara tara hai se akshara chandra hai Krishna karyudai tri jagat kaila kama mai. The Kama Gayatri mantra is just like a Vedic hymn, but it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. There is no difference between the Kama Gayatri and Krishna. Both are composed of 24 and a half transcendental syllables. See Madhya 21:125-29. The mantra depicted in letters is also Krishna, and the mantra rises just like the moon. Due to this, there is a perverted reflection of desire in human society and among all kinds of living entities. In the mantra Klim Kama Devaya Vidame Pushpa Banaya Dhimai Tanno Nanga Pachodayat, Krishna is called Kama Deva, Pushpa Bana, and Ananga. Kama Deva is Madan Mohan, the deity who establishes our relationship with Krishna. Pushpa Bana, he who carries an arrow made of flowers, is Govinda, the personality of Godhead who accepts our devotional service. And Ananga is Gopi Jana Vallabha, who satisfies all the gopis and is the ultimate goal of life. This Kama Gayatri, Krim Kama Devaya Vidmehe Pushpa Bana Dhimai Tanonga Prachodayat, simply does not belong to this material world. When one is advanced in spiritual understanding, he can worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead with his spiritually purified senses and fulfill the desires of the Lord. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam evashyasi satyam te pati jane priyosi me. Always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Bhagavad Gita 18:65. In the Brahma Samhita 5:27-28, it is stated, Atha venu ninadasya trai murti mai gati puranti pravive shasu mukhabjani swayam bhuva gayatrim gayatastasmad adhigatya sarojaja samskritaschadi guruna dvijatam akamattataha traya prabuddhotha vidhir vigyata tatvasagara tushtava veda sarena strotrena nena keshavam. Then Gayatri, mother of the Vedas, having been manifested by the divine sound of Sri Krishna's flute, entered the lotus mouth of Brahma, the self-born, through his 8 ear holes. Thus the lotus-born Brahma received the Gayatri mantra, which had sprung from the song of Sri Krishna's flute. In this way he attained twice-born status, having been initiated by the supreme primal preceptor, Godhead himself. Enlightened by the recollection of that Gayatri, which embodies the 3 Vedas, Brahma became acquainted with the expanse of the ocean of truth. Then he worshipped Sri Krishna, the essence of all the Vedas, with a hymn. The vibration of Krishna's flute is the origin of the Vedic hymns. Lord Brahma, who is seated on a lotus flower, heard the sound vibration of Krishna's flute and was thereby initiated by the Gayatri mantra. And now Sesha Prabhu will give the class.
Thank you. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Naitam Yenatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So the lesson from that long purport is first deserve, then desire. First deserve, then desire. And I have a couple of stories to tell you about that, which I think will illustrate not only the principle of deserving and then desiring, but also explain some of the, at least comment on some of the Prabhupada's purport here. When I was growing up, as a young boy, I liked to play baseball. And actually, I was on a pretty good team, baseball team. We were in a tournament, and we were progressing towards the Little League World Series. And at one point in time, I was alone with the coach, and I asked him a question which was burning in my mind. I asked him, we were playing in the Western Regional, and so the next step was in Utah. So I asked him, where will we stay when we get to Utah? And he looked at me like I was an idiot. And he took me aside and he put me up against the wall, as any good coach would do, and he looked me right in the eye and he said, first deserve, then desire. We have to win this game first if we're going to Utah, so we'll worry about where we stay in Utah when we get there. But first deserve, then desire. Unfortunately, we lost the game. We didn't have to worry about where we stayed in Utah. And you would have thought that that would have been a lesson, a strong lesson in life, to curb a tendency that obviously I had of trying to first desire, then deserve. But no, it didn't. And so therefore, about 10 or 15, probably 15 years later, when I joined the Hare Krishna movement and I was a new devotee, I got the opportunity to be alone with the leader of our party, who was Rupanuga Prabhu. He was a sannyasi at that time, Rupanuga Das Goswami. And so there I was alone with him, and I asked him a question that was burning on my mind. And I asked him, I said, when we get to the spiritual world, how will we know what to do there? And he looked at me, and although Rupanuga was a Marine, but he would join the Marine Corps and served in the Marine, he was a devotee, obviously, so he didn't push me up against the wall and tell me, you know, what are you talking about, first deserved, then desire. He just kind of laughed and said, when you get there, you'll know. So that was 40 years ago. So today, I want to give you a few reflections on those 40 years and what I learned about this question about what we'll do when we get to the spiritual world. Unfortunately, to answer that question, we have the guidance of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, our beloved guru. And he's introduced us to all the acharyas throughout history. In that way, we've got a little orientated towards answering this question of what we will do when we get back to the spiritual world. Indeed, Prabhupada, not just us, those of us who are his disciples and followers, but everyone, his books are for everyone. And right in his first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he helped us get some orientation toward the spiritual world. You all know this cover of the first canto of Bhagavatam. It's the same that Prabhupada had in India. And on the cover itself is an explanation of the spiritual world. So if we're talking about the spiritual world, Prabhupada's book, even the cover of it, what to speak of what's inside, gives us some orientation. Tells us where it is. If we're going to go back to Godhead, well, where is it? How is it situated? And it's here. There's an explanation here. And I'll just point out a couple of things about this explanation. That it says that the original spiritual planet which resembles the war of a huge lotus flower, is called Goloka Vrindavan. It is the abode of Lord Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. Simple sentence, but very, very packed with a lot of information and realization about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So there it is, the original abode of Krishna, like a huge war of a lotus flower. That planet, this original planet, Goloka, throws off a spiritual ray of effulgence called Brahma Jyoti, which is the ultimate goal of the impersonalist. So all this blue space here on the cover, that's the Brahma Jyoti, and that's emanating from Goloka Vrindavan. This is important if we're going to understand the difference between personalism and impersonalism, because we're talking about going back to the spiritual world. Well, one question is it personal or impersonal? What's it going to be like when I get there? Are we going to be able to do anything, or do we do nothing? You know, that's the question. What are we going to do when we get there? Do we do anything or do we do nothing? So it depends where we go. So it says the Brahma Jyoti, within the Brahma Jyoti, there are unlimited spiritual planets. And so these planets are there also, the planets, spiritual planets. But if you look at it closely, there's a difference between the spiritual planets and the Brahma Jyoti and Goloka Vrindavan. In Goloka Vrindavan, there's Krishna, two-handed Krishna, just like we have Radha Shyam Sundar here. Two-handed Krishna, he's playing a flute with Radha next to him. In the planets that are there in the spiritual sky, there's a four-handed form of Narayan. So they're different. There's different places in the spiritual world. So what you do in the spiritual world depends on where you go. You go back to Godhead, to Goloka Vrindavan, or you go to the Vaikuntha planets, or you go to the Brahma Jyoti. So where you go is the first thing. But wherever you go there, I guess except the Brahma Jyoti, there appears to be a lot going on. Prabhupada gave an interesting example of this from his own spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Someone asked Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur one time, how can you print a newspaper every day, the Nadia Prakash? Because he printed this new daily newspaper about spiritual topics. And someone was wondering, well, you know, how can you print a daily newspaper about spiritual topics? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was dumbfounded. What do you mean? You don't know what the spiritual world is. Here it is. It's unlimited planets in an unlimited sky with an unlimited Goloka Vrindavan. A newspaper could be printed every second about the activities that go on in the spiritual world. This is what Prabhupada came to save us from, actually. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Paschatya Desa Tarani. We tend to think of the spiritual world or spiritual life as, okay, maybe there's something to do there. You know, but there's so much to do there. It's so personal. Everything is alive. We read that in the purport, didn't we? Everything is alive, full of life and activity. So that's the spiritual world. But it depends. What you do there depends on where you go or what type of liberation you have there. Srila Prabhupada in the Nectar of Devotion, translation of Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he explains something about the different types of liberation. Or liberation basically means going there, leaving here. I didn't tell you, but there's a little dark cloud here in the spiritual world. That's where we are. We're in that little dark cloud there. Liberation means going to the other place where the light of the Brahma Jyoti is, or the Vaikuntha planets, or Goloka Vrindavan. That's what liberation means. So there's five different kinds of liberation you can have. It means getting out of that little dark cloud there. So Prabhupada describes this in the Nectar Devotion. He says there are five stages of liberation, already explained as being: one, to become one with the Lord; two, to live on the same planet as the Lord; three, to obtain the same bodily features as the Lord; and four, to have the same opulence as the Lord; and five, to have constant association with the Lord. Then he says something very interesting. There's these five kinds of liberation. In other words, getting out of that cloud, going back to the spiritual world. But then Prabhupada says here, out of these five liberated stages, the one known as Sahujya, or to merge into the existence of the Lord, is the last to be accepted by a devotee. So devotee makes some discrimination. He just doesn't want to leave that cloud of the material world and go to the spiritual world. There's some qualification about what he wants when he goes to the spiritual world for a devotee. He doesn't want Sahujya, or merging into the oneness. The other four liberations, although not desired by devotees, are still not against the devotional ideals. What does that mean? The other four liberations, although not desired by the devotees. I mean, we're talking about having the same bodily features as the Lord, living on the same planet as the Lord, constant association with the Lord. That's not desired by the devotees? No, apparently not. Prabhupada continues here. Some of the liberated persons who have achieved these four stages of liberation may develop an affection for Krishna and be promoted to the Goloka Vrindavan planet in the spiritual sky. In other words, those who are already promoted to the Vaikuntha planets and who possess the four kinds of liberation may also sometimes develop affection for Krishna and be promoted to Krishna Loka. This is an important difference for us because, again, what we do depends on where we go. And apparently, for the devotees of the Lord, those pure devotees of the Lord, there's a difference between these planets in the spiritual sky, where the four-armed Vishnu is there, and Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna, two-handed Krishna, is playing his flute with Krishna and the gopis. There's a difference. So what is that difference? Why do the devotees want Krishna Loka and not the Vaikuntha Lokas? We were having a discussion about this last night, actually, and one devotee was making the point that the reason why the devotees want to go to Krishna Loka, not the Vaikuntha planets, is because in Krishna Loka, there's an opportunity for service to Krishna, to serve Krishna. And that opportunity may not be there in the Vaikuntha planets. In the Vaikuntha planets, it's Dasya Rasa. They're mainly servants of Krishna, but that type of service is different than the service that's in Goloka Vrindavan. The service in Goloka Vrindavan is more intimate. The devotee was making the point that there's control. There's control in Goloka Vrindavan. The service obliges Krishna. Not that we're interested in obliging Krishna, but there's a loving exchange that's much more personal and loving. And when there's love, there's control. Krishna controls the devotees control Krishna. And the Vaikuntha planets is not like that. their service there, their service to Vishnu, but there's not this intimate kind of service that we find in Goloka Vrindavan. We were listening to one bhajan also, sung by, it's a Hindi bhajan, sung by Pandit Jasaraj, a very famous singer in India. And he was singing that, what will I do if I go to Vaikuntha? What will I do if there's no Mother Yashoda there? If there's no Jamuna, if there's no Govardhan Hill, what will I do in Vaikuntha? Basically deriding Vaikuntha liberation because there's no opportunity to serve the devotees and Krishna. And so this is a big thing if we're thinking about where we want to go. And I think we all need to think about that, because whether you go to the spiritual world or you come to the human form of life again, or you descend to animal species, or you go to the hellish planets, you're working on it right now. We're all working on what the future is going to be right now. So if we do the right thing now, we'll get a destination that's favorable. If we do the wrong thing now, then we may get some other destination. Depends on what we do now. What we do there depends on what we're doing now. And so, if we practice Krishna consciousness as given by Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas, then we can get this intimate loving service in Goloka Vrindavan with Krishna, following residents of Vrindavan. If we follow a different path, then we can get residence in the Vaikuntha Lokas. Or if we continue our sinful activities in this human form of life, then we can get a hellish life in this planet, or go to lower forms of life in other planets. It depends what we want to do. Now all of this, by the way, has been described by Srila Prabhupada in the previous acharyas. Therefore, in this nice bhajan by Narottam Das Thakur that was it's in the purport here, it describes that Rupa Raganata Pade Hoibe Yakuti Kabe Habe Kabe Hama Bujaya Se Yugala Pariti. When will I be attracted to the instructions of the Goswamis, so that I will be able to understand what is Radha and Krishna and what is Vrindavan? So the Goswamis, they've given us so many literatures which describe the spiritual world and what goes on there. Rupa Goswami, for instance, he's given us Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ujjala Nilamani, Laghu Bhagavatamrita. It's interesting to understand what these books are actually discussing. Of course, we know Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, General Science of Devotion, where we get a chance to look at sadhana bhakti, both as Vaidhi bhakti and as Raghunuga bhakti, and then the elements of rasa, that's all described there in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Who knows what's described in Ujjala Nilamani? What's described in Rupa Goswami's work, Ujjala Nilamani? This work is like a part two. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu's part one and Ujjala Nilamani's part two. Does anybody know what the subject matters of Ujjala Nilamani are? Okay. It talks about mainly Madhurya Rasa. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, just a little bit of Madhurya Rasa is given. But in Ujjala Nilamani, it's a vast description there. And so things there are discussed like varieties of heroes, male friends who assist in the arrangements of Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, varieties of leaders of the gopis, varieties of messengers, Srimati Radharani's friends, Lord Krishna's beloved gopis. These are just, this is the subject matter, what's described there. So we're Rupanugas. Prabhupada said, we're Rupanugas. We're following Rupa Goswami. And so his instructions help us to develop in our devotional service in such a way that we can go to the spiritual world and follow these residents in serving Krishna in loving exchanges. Rupa Goswami has another book, Laghu Bhagavatamrita. We know what Brihad Bhagavatamrita is about, right? Sanatan Goswami is given Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and there we get a description of the different places in the spiritual world. Gopa Kumar, he goes different places, and he has different experiences according to what people do there in serving Krishna. And ultimately, he's dissatisfied because he wants to go to Goloka Vrindavan, where he can be a cowherd friend of Krishna, as opposed to the other majestic types of worship that go on in Vaikuntha. And so that's described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Laghu Bhagavatamrita by Rupa Goswami. Prabhupada has described these things in great detail in purports in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But does anybody know what the Laghu Bhagavatamrita covers? Okay, Laghu Bhagavatamrita was especially written to counter the preaching of Sankaracharya, upon which all the impersonal philosophy is based. So the Goswamis, they don't want us to go to the Brahmajyoti. They want us to go at least to the Vaikuntha planets. Mostly they want us to go to Goloka Vrindavan. And so therefore they counter Sankaracharya's propaganda about going to the Brahmajyoti. If you want to go to the Brahmajyoti, then you know you need to read Laghu Bhagavatamrita, so you get that desire out of your heart. Laghu Bhagavatamrita is divided into two parts. The first is called the Nectar of Krishna's, and the second, the Nectar of Devotional Service. First, the Nectar of Krishna, and second, the Nectar of Devotional Service. And so there we find a description of all the 25 different Leela avatars. Everything is described about the spiritual world there. So, the literature of the Goswamis, that when we try to understand Krishna in that way, then we can go back to Goloka Vrindavan. But there's this little verse up here from the Bhajan from Srila Narottam Das Thakur that is just like that game that we didn't win in the Little League. Vishaya chadiya kabe suda habe man kabe hava hriboye shri vrindavandan. When will my mind be cleansed of all material dirt so that I will be able to feel the presence of this of spiritual Vrindavan? Vishaya chadiya, we have to give up this spirit of enjoying, sense enjoyment. That's winning the game. If you lose that, then you don't go to Utah. If you lose that, then you don't go to the spiritual world. You stay here. So that's the first thing. We have to win the game. Vishyaya chadiya, giving up that sense desire. Only then will we be able to go to the spiritual world. And how will we get there? What's the process for getting there? Well, it depends. The process you take will take you to a certain place. We perform sadhana, but there's two aspects of sadhana. There's Vaidhi sadhana and Raghunuga sadhana. So Vaidhi sadhana is practiced according to rules and regulations. That's a general definition. And Raghunuga Raghunuga Bhakti is based more on a sort of spontaneous attraction. So depending on how you practice, depends where you go. Again, this is all generally speaking. And of course, there's a lot of misconceptions about this, and so that's the last thing I want to cover here, some misconceptions you might have about Vaidhi Bhakti and Sadhana and Raghunuga Bhakti. Generally speaking, if you practice Vaidhi Bhakti, you worship the Lord with awe and reverence, and you go where? You go to the Vaikuntha planets. But we want to go to the Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world. So if you practice Raghunuga Bhakti, Raga Bhakti, this path of affection, then you can go to Goloka Vrindavan. Now that's generally speaking. But if we delve a little deeper into the subject, as given by the Goswamis in their literature, we find some very interesting information. Our god brother Sahocha Swami had written an extended essay, about Raghunuga Bhakti and ISKCON. Because sometimes people say in ISKCON, you just perform Vaidhi Bhakti and you're going to Vaikuntha, you're not going to Goloka Vrindavan. But is that a fact? Is it that we're just practicing Vaidhi Bhakti? I don't think so. Let me read here some of the things that Sahocha Swami points out. And Prabhupada points out, he's quoting from the scriptures. Vaidhi Bhakti is like Archana, Pancharatrika Vidhi. So we do that very gorgeously, as we can see here today. But Raghunuga Bhakti or Bhagavat Marg, that is the path of Shravanam Kirtanam. So Srila Prabhupada has given the example that these two paths, Pancharatrika Vidhi, which is synonymous here with Vaidhi Bhakti, and the Bhagavat Vidhi, which is synonymous to Raghunuga Bhakti, these things are like two tracks, and they go together. And during a lecture, Prabhupada talked about this. He said that, therefore, my Guru Maharaj introduced, you have seen the, what is it called? The signia? He's talking about the seal or the of Gaudiya Math. One side, Pancharatrika Vidhi, one side, Bhagavat Vidhi. I have seen that Gaudiya Math emblem. Bhagavat Marg is very strong. That is sufficient. But without Pancharatrika Vidhi, this polluted body, polluted mind of the devotee cannot be purified. Therefore, both processes should be adopted in preaching Krishna consciousness movement. So this is a prescription that Prabhupada has given us. Both Vaidhi Bhakti and Raghunuga Bhakti, or Pancharatrika Vidhi and Bhagavat Vidhi. Like rails on a train, we follow them. And in that way, we can be successful. One cannot exist without the other. So, this is a little further explained by Jiva Goswami in his Bhakti Sandarbha. He says that devotees do not practice Vaidhi Bhakti for ordinary goals, or Pancharatrika Vidhi, for ordinary goals. Generally, people, they worship the deity because they want something. They worship the deity for some goal like that, to obtain material benedictions and the five kinds of liberation we described before. But Devotees, those are ordinary goals. Devotees don't follow Pancharachiki Vidhi for that purpose. And so Srila Jiva Goswami in the Bhakti Sandarbha states that Majjhima Adhikari devotees accept Vaidhi Bhakti as Bhakti Matra Kama, or Vaidhi Bhakti motivated by a desire to attain pure bhakti. The karma of the Bhakti Matra Karma consists of the prescribed duties of deity worship, and the jnana is the study of the scriptures. Both are aimed at attaining a pure taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna, which is Raga Bhakti. So the practices, these two tracks that have been given to us by Srila Prabhupada, are meant for that aim, to develop pure love, a pure taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. That is what will take you back to Goloka Vrindavan. So if you want to go to Goloka Vrindavan, specifically prescribed for us by Srila Prabhupada are these two tracks, Pancharachiki Vidhi, Bhagavat Vidhi, or Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti. They're not separate. They're actually different stages of the same thing. And we should look at them that way, not as separate things. And if we follow that path, then we will be able to get the essence of Raga Bhakti, which is pure taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna, and go back to the Goloka Vrindavan planet, which is described here. And what are you going to do there? Final thing, what are you going to do there? Well, you serve the devotees and Krishna. That's what you're going to do. That's the essence of the spiritual world. And I have one little quote in that regard. Let's see if I can find it so that we can end. Here. So, we want to not fail, lose the game, fail to control our senses, vishaya, chadiya. So the best way to do that is to serve and please Krishna. The best way to serve and please Krishna is to serve and please his devotees. His devotees make them happy. Govardhan knows this secret and makes all the residents of Vrindavan happy, and therefore Radharani declares Govardhan as the best of Krishna's devotees. To be the servant of the servant of the servant is the mood of Goloka Vrindavan. That's the mood of Goloka Vrindavan. So what are we going to do there? What are we going to do in the spiritual world when we get there? We're going to serve Krishna and his devotees. And we serve him in five different kinds of loving exchanges, which we can discuss at another time. So that's some thoughts on the last 40 years of trying to answer the question that I asked Rupa Nuga during that time. Any comments or questions anyone has? Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you. You mentioned that Srila Prabhupada has this performing both Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti. Could you explain, does that happen at different times, or is that happening continuously? Is there like a division line, or how does that work?
Well, no, we experience it every day. Prabhupada's given us a program where we worship the deity and we hear the Bhagavatam. That's Bhagavat Vidhi. That's the Raganuga, synonymous to Raganuga Bhakti that I'm saying. So daily we hear the Bhagavatam. Daily we engage in worship of the deity. So the Bhagavatam class is there, our individual study is there. Prabhupada was so insistent not only that his books be produced and distributed, but that his disciples and others read the books. So it's something that goes on continuously. And the manifestation of following both tracks is that one develops a strong desire to purely hear and chant about Krishna. So That's how it manifests. If we're indeed on the path back to Godhead, then it'll be manifest by a increased desire for pure hearing and chanting about Krishna. We can see it in that way. Test ourselves in that way. Vishaya Chadiya, are those desires leaving us? Isn't there another song, Vishaya Chadiya, Se Rasa Mujiya, Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari? Parama Karuna. So it says like that, Vishaya Chadiya, this desire going away, and okay, Mishe?
Charya, Sherashe Mojia, Mukhe Bala Hori Hori.
So the desire for that, the taste, the pure chanting is increasing. So that's how we'll know. Other questions? Yes? Mother Mahendrani?
Thank you. I have a comment and a question. The comment is, whenever I hear about, everything's alive in the spiritual world, I always remember this one point, little tidbit from a memory tape, which I've said before, but it's just so sweet. So the devotee was saying that Prabhupada was trying to explain to them that everything's alive in this unconscious in the spiritual world, but he could see they weren't getting it. So he paused for a moment and thought deeply, and then he said, when Radharani cooks rice for Krishna, she asks the rice, are you ready yet? And then the rice says, give me a few more minutes. And then my question was about the first deserve, then desire. So I understand that to mean that we're being asked, if you're going to desire something lofty, then understand what the qualifications are necessary to deserve it, and be prepared to do what it takes. But sometimes people use that to mean, don't even think about what it is. You're too unqualified right now, so don't even think about what you're... That's too lofty. Don't even think about it right now. Think more low on the level that you're at. But it seems like in order to be motivated to do what it takes to deserve it, you have to be meditating on what it is you're aiming for. For instance, if the coach had told you where you were going to stay in Utah and how much fun it was going to be, maybe everybody on the team would have been motivated to win the game. So I just don't know if you have any comment about how we're to see that first deserve, then desire. Although you kind of told us as you went on in class that, but anyway.
Well, I think it's kind of both. I mean, we can't be, we should not proceed without our feet on the ground. In other words, with our head can be in the clouds and our feet not on the ground, and we may not actually be progressing. So we have to progress, and we need to know what we're progressing to, particularly because there's so much, and it's more and more as sort of the Vedic paradigm bubbles out of India all over the world in all kinds of different forms. There's a lot that we need to distinguish and be able to differentiate between one path and another. So we do have to know where we're going. But at the same point, again, we can't get too far ahead of ourselves, we have to take it step at a time and be patient. Therefore, in the one book where Rupa Goswami describes in 12 or 14 verses, like our whole philosophy, start to finish, new bhakta coming in the door to like someone, is assistant to the gopis in Vrindavan, Upadeshamrita, he starts with that you have to be patient. Tat tat darya pravartanati. He starts with that, being patient, enthusiastic and patient. So enthusiastic could be understood to mean, yes, to understand what is that goal, be aware of it. But patient means, okay, I understand where I'm at right now and how I'm going to get there, so let me not get ahead of myself. Let me first deserve, then desire. Other questions? Mother Jashree?
This is very elementary, But you were talking about the people that are worshiping Lord Vishnu and going back to the Vaikuntha planets. And then you said the devotees, aren't they devotees? I mean...
Yes.
I mean, they are devotees, and there's nothing wrong with going to the Vaikuntha planets. There's like unlimited living entities there, and right. the Lord is the same Lord.
Not only that, but I mean, that's all that's really available most of the time. Only Goloka Vrindavan has been made available by the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, that's the goal. So how can we decry Vaikuntha? We can't decry Vaikuntha. That's the goal, and for most of the time, that's the highest attainment you can have. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come, and amazing as it seems, he's come at the most degraded time, and he's given the most degraded persons, speaking of myself, the opportunity to get Goloka Vrindavan. So, yes, they are devotees in Vaikuntha Lok, no, there's no doubt. But if you take a an analysis, as the Goswamis have done, they've analyzed that Goloka Vrindavan is the topmost. It's a quote, there's an asterisk in this Nectar Devotion where Prabhupada explains that. He says that the conclusion of Srila Rupa Goswami is that devotees who are attracted by the pastimes of Lord in Gokula or Vrindavan are the topmost devotees. And here's the asterisk footnote. Vrindavan is a transcendental place where Krishna enjoys his eternal pastimes as a young boy, and is considered the topmost sphere in all existence. When this Vrindavan is exhibited in the material world, the place is called Gokula, and the spiritual world, and in the spiritual world is called Goloka, or Goloka Vrindavan. So the topmost existence is there in Vrindavan. That's why we're differentiating, not to decry something that probably myself would never attain anyway. So. You need to cry. Anything? Any other questions? It's a little late today. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.